little piece in a book of mine yesterday. I don't know whether you can remember or not. She was called Phyllis Diller, and she was an American comedian. She was quite funny, I thought. But she'd written a piece about Mother's Day, or Mothering Sunday, as we prefer to call it. And she said, "In my life, I have given my children everything that I couldn't have." Now, there's a good percentage here that didn't have what they would like to have had when they were children, because it wasn't there. So Phyllis Diller said she let her kids have everything that she'd never had. And then the line was, "And then I moved in." So we've got one scripture this morning telling us about this great mother, a woman of strong character, the Bible says. She has wisdom and strength, many skills and compassion. You know, when you think about it, throughout the world, you know, when you think all those throughout the world who, if you like, have made some mistakes, we suddenly realise that we're not the ideal woman like this woman in Scripture. But you know, in Scripture, it gives it to you straight. In the world, it says the ideal woman is a bit retiring and a bit servile and very, very domesticated. In other words, girls, tied to the kitchen sink. Well, thank God that's finished. I really do thank the Lord for that. This woman, though, in the scripture, she's an excellent wife and mother. She's talented. She was a manufacturer. She was an importer. She was a manager. She bought property. We're talking about hundreds of years before Christ. In our country, women weren't allowed to buy any property unless they were 30 and they had money. And that was in the 30s. So this woman is really in front. She's farms. She's a seamstress. She's an upholsterer and she's a merchant. Very gifted lady. The gifts that, if you like, that come were from her reverence of Almighty God. We today live in a world where physical appearances count for so much. And it doesn't matter if the gentleman's intended cannot boil an egg or iron his shirt. As long as she looks beautiful and has fabulous makeup, and wears super clothes. Well, that lets me out. I was surprised reading this proverb. The woman's appearance is never mentioned. It's only the gifts she's got to give to her family and her nation. She has outstanding abilities. Oh yes, she must have been a very high social lady. And she's a portrait in Scripture of the ideal woman. Now, don't get upset, because we can't do all this. But you know, God's word here is for inspiration. You can achieve, girls and boys, you can achieve anything in life. I believe that with all my heart. First of all, if God wants to give it you, and second, if you want it yourself. Today, there's a celebration of mothers. Like in the booklet, UCB, the word for today, on a church notice board, I like this. It says, on this notice board, if evolution is true, and I remember having a row once with a man who told me that I was descended from a monkey. And, I mean, he wasn't my friend at all. I said, well, if I'm descended from a monkey, why are there still monkeys? But here, it's, if evolution is true, how come mothers still only have two hands? Think about it. Because, you know, you're cooking your tea, you're looking at your child, you're making, answering the phone. You know, we can do a few jobs at once. You know, we can thank God this morning. We've only got a short time in the house of God this morning. But it's a time to just say thank you for our own mothers. Those here. Those at home. And like, I should think, the most percentage of us, those who have passed away. But we bring before them to God and say, well, I hope we can say, thank you very much, Lord, for a loving mum. We think about mothers all over the world today. The world is moving, and it's moving just like Naomi and Ruth. It's moving with people who have got to move. They are refugees from all over the world, and they're all moving. It isn't just the Ukraine. It's everywhere. It's Syria. It's the Lebanon. It's anywhere where there's been somebody that thinks they're great, and they've made life miserable for their people. You know, those who've escaped from where they've been, they're leaving behind people who they love because they can't move. We think of the brave mothers helping their aged parents to move, helping their children. But as in Ukraine, they're leaving their men, their husbands, their brothers, their sons, if they're old enough, to fight. And I thought this morning, forgive me, Lord, when I grumble about what I want next. When I think it would be a good idea if I bought something, when I've got a wardrobe full. You know what I mean? And am I there? I think that we can pray, and I pray that it won't be too long for the Ukrainian people, that it won't be long before they can go home. And then the world can help them to rebuild. We've did it before, and we can do it again. But let's turn to Ruth. You know, I don't need to read the story of Ruth to you because you've read it time and time again. Well known, mother-in-law and the foreigner, the daughter-in-law. And sometimes, you know, mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law don't get on. Not going into that. Because my mother-in-law was a little Welsh lady who couldn't speak English when she came here to England. Sweet lady. And when she went away, which was very rare, she used to bring rock back for all her street for the children, because she thought it was a privilege to have a few days at Blackpool, and the kids there didn't. My daughter-in-law now, Joy, as long as she's got a house full of dogs, she can feed a whole battalion of people. And before she leaves me, every time she gets hold of me and gives me a hug and says thanks. Two widows, one of them has already come with her husband and two sons out of, that's got some weft, doesn't it? She's got this husband, two sons, and they've come away from famine. And now she's going back because she's found out that there's bread in Bethlehem. Two widows. And God was willing to help and guide and lead into what for them was unknown. It's been years, been a decade since Naomi left Bethlehem with her family. And now she's going back with a foreigner, a refugee. And it's not going to be easy. There could be danger for Ruth if she picks the wrong field. It's interesting that I didn't know until I read into this that there was a lot of abuse for women who did the harvesting by young guys who should have known better. There would be this danger. It's interesting, isn't it, that they arrive in Bethlehem. The name alone should have lightened their heart. Bethlehem, house of bread. And verse 1, there's a reference to Boaz, and it says he's a relative of Elimelech. Is it a coincidence? I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that when something unusual, wonderful, is from God. And if anything else happens, it's what we've done. So we've got this relative, Boaz. Something that, is it just something that just happens? No. It's the finger of God in your life and mine. I've said before that there's been many times when I've known that God has been in my life and he's kind of pointed the finger and said, you do it that way. And I've been saying, I want to do it this way. You'll do it that way. And he won't leave you alone until you do it his way. Things just don't happen. All things, good and bad, are used purposefully by God. So Ruth was in a land she didn't know. She'd heard about it. And at this particular time in Scripture, the people in Israel and the people in Moab were like friends, but not friends as we know it. They got on with each other. That's why she could go to Bethlehem. But she was in this land and she didn't know. It was an alien land, and she was unsure how the Israelites would accept her. There could be danger for both of them. She does find a field, we're told, and it belongs to Boaz. And I can see her at this back-breaking job. She's not gathering sheaves of corn, or I should say it was time of the barley harvest. Barley. She is allowed, when the little grains fall off the stooks, the poor were allowed to pick up the grains. Try doing that to make even a loaf of bread. She finds a field, it's hot, it's dusty. And she does take a risk, really, to find something for both her and Naomi so that they can eat. But nothing's going to stop this young woman. She's going to do what she can for her mother-in-law. In our country, the NHS and the social services are in a place to look after us. It was God who provided for poor widows. And really, what they had was food, company. There's a piece of scripture in Leviticus 19 that says this: to all the farmers in Israel, wherever the farm is, it says, leave behind some grain for the poor and alien. I am the Lord your God. God cares. You may have prayers on your heart that are heavy, really heavy. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know what to pray for. How many times have we said, how do you pray for this? God cares. Believe it, he does. So she finds a field, starts to glean, but she keeps behind those who are harvesting the stooks. I really like this young foreign widow. First of all, she didn't sit around waiting for something to happen. She went to work. Do you remember when you went to work? I left school on Friday and went to work in the weaving sheds on Monday. That's how it was. But we didn't grumble, did we? Well, I didn't. I just thought it was an adventure. So she went to work knowing in her love for Naomi, this was the only way to put food on the table. God provided for both of them. And Ruth wasn't afraid. This is important this morning. I felt it was important. Ruth was not afraid of admitting her need. How often do we answer a friend's question, "Everything okay?" with the answer, "Oh yes," when it isn't? Think about that. If you need help and somebody says, they might run away and think, "I didn't think they were going to say that." But you admit if something's wrong. To admit you and I need help is no shame. God provides for Ruth. She finds herself unknowingly in the right field, in the right place, with the right man at the right time, which is God's time. Let's all of us consider this. If we are waiting for an answer to our prayers, no matter what our needs might be, God could be waiting for us to take the first step. Ruth was a good worker. It was back-breaking work in the heat and the dust, and she could have complained and said, "Oh, hang on, I'm going back home. I'm not putting up with this. Why should I put up with this?" But she didn't. Even the foreman in charge remarked to Boaz that she had faithfully done the job well. What is our attitude to the job that we've been given here in God's house? No matter what we do here, it's God-given. He wants us to do it to the best of our ability. He wants this membership. He wants us to be members, if you like, of the same club. We'll be thinking about that. The ministers, and Jeff wrote a tremendous report. And we will be thinking about being together as one, as membership. Ruth had told herself, if she had told herself, "I'm too good for this job," and chucked the towel in, she would have missed meeting Boaz. Changing her life, and by God's grace, becoming the ancestor of King David, and then the Lord Jesus himself. We need to be aware this morning, and I've missed a few, missed opportunities. When people say, "What do you think about that? Are you going to join us?" "I'll think about it," and with no intention. You see, what Ruth did was to get the protection from Boaz. As a young woman, like we've said, they were abused. They were raped in the fields when they were alone. Cannot believe that this could happen so many years ago. But sinful men and women have been around through every age. And you know, the only difference between us is the clothes that we wear. We've all got the same heart. And it's God that changes it. Ruth had lovely qualities. She was kind, loving, hardworking. faithful, and she loved her mother-in-law. She knew sadness and hardship, but it seems never took it, if you like. Never took it on others. As for Boaz, he was wealthy, yes. But that did not stop him out of the abundance, his abundance, providing for the needy. God's kindness was also in abundance. In the Old Testament, do you know, this last week, it was again at the prayer meeting, I've heard this word kindness all week. I don't know whether God's trying to tell me something. He'll let me know what it is. But it's been kindness every week. Every day I've had it, all this week. This word kindness, I didn't know, but it's listed 250 times in the Old Testament. And when you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of really gruesome bits. And kindness never, you know, we think, how can they be kind to each other when this is going on? 250 times. If only more people could be kind to each other. Just kind. God will never let us down wherever we might be. I've told you this story before, but I'll make it short. When you've got a burst tyre and you can't undo the wheel, it's a bit, especially when you've just come off a motorway. And I was with a friend who had nothing at all to do with church. And she said, what are we going to do? She wasn't in the AA or anything. I said, well, it needs to come off. We need to put your spare on. And I can't budget these nuts. I said, I'm going to have a prayer, because I was on my knees anyway. It was years ago, you know? And she said, well, don't get me into that. So she went round the front of the car and stopped there. And I'm there, I'm saying, Lord, you know, we're in a mess, you know, we're in a mess. And I heard this, a huge heartache. And this young fella jumped out and he said, hang on a minute, love. You're all loved, aren't we, up here? Hang on, he's getting so loved down south, no way. Hang on a minute, love. I'll do that. And did it in no time. Do you know, I said, you're an answer to a prayer. So he looked at me. And I said, you are. I said, I've been on my knees having a little prayer. And you're the answer to it. I said, and you came, it sounded like angel's wings. Shh. He said, oh, he was a bit shocked. Am I? I said, you are to me. I said, and I hope that if I need to give anybody any help in the next 24 hours or 24 days or 24 years, I'll be in there helping them. So he went away and he was a little bit overwhelmed. But I thought, I don't care. He was my angel. God will never let us down. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. In Romans it says these words. And I think that they are appropriate. Because it says, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then Paul goes on, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Trust the Lord with your day, today and every day. Leave everything with him that may trouble us, and let's have a day that could be filled with surprises. I'm being taken out this afternoon. We're going over to Liverpool again to see the other mum. They've decided 2 mums are better than one. So that's good, isn't it? And I'm having a drive out. And I've even got a doggy sitter for the dog. So that's wonderful, isn't it? Finally, and this is final, take a moment to reflect on anything that reminds you of your mother. Do you want to share it? What reminds you of your mother? Something that says, oh, that does remind me of my mum. Anybody want to share? No? Well, I'm going to share.
My grandmother used to say, when we'd been out, she used to say, did you meet anyone you know?
Yeah, so you've remembered that. Yeah. Now, I don't know whether you were able to find what I was looking for, Jenny, but if you can put it up on the screen. This is mine. Now, this reminds me of my mum, because she plastered me with this from being a few weeks old to getting married. Because I used to say, I can do my own front. She said, yes, but you can't do your own back. And this little jar, I've got two on the go. I don't think it does a bit of good, actually. I mean... You've got to have proper medication. But I plaster it on, and it's just, as I inhale, I said, thanks, Mum. You might have something else, but I think you're very clever, Jenny. I never thought you'd find anything. But she's so clever, isn't she? And I do thank her for going through whatever. I know I couldn't find it on my computer. But vapor rod. Vic. Victory in Christ's kingdom. Remember that. Every time you see a jar of Vic, we are victorious because he loves us.